This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. I have Dwayne with me online, and so I'm going to Dwayne take it away and explain more about what he does.
Hi, thanks very much. Yeah, it's Dwayne Marino. I'm a sales trainer, an author. I've got a massive online virtual training library behind our paywall. And I essentially do seminars and coaching, and my company does, across North America, to salespeople, sales managers, finance managers, and just a lot of different positions that are customer facing. My business niche is in the automotive space.
Now, why did you pick that as a business niche? Why did you pick the automotive space as your customer avatar? So to speak, why?
Main reason being, I started off in automotive when I was 16 years of age, actually changing oil. It was just a job in high school. And then that got me a job working at a car dealership doing a bunch of other things in the fixed operations, which is sort of the shop and in the showroom and the front end of the building. I was there for about 3 years. Had a lot of other odd jobs and businesses and stuff that I'd started through high school, university. And when I graduated out of university, I went to work for General Motors Corporate. So I was there for 7 years, did a lot of different things there, and actually was starting up their national training programs for my last 4 years. And after 4 years of doing that all over Canada and the U.S., I just decided that it was time for me to go on my own. I didn't see myself in my 20s staying for the next 20, 30 years to get the golden handcuffs, as they call it, to get that pension. And I saw a lot of changes in my space and a lot of different things happening in the market where I saw there was a need for all kinds of different things: customer retention training, customer retention software, sales training. The internet was coming out. There's a lot of adjustments to moving, from just face-to-face sales to phone sales, online sales, the well-researched buyer. Anyways, a lot of dynamics. It's really where my roots were from, and I decided to continue on with that in that space. And training budgets are there, and if you've got a name and reputation, then word of mouth is the way to grow your business, and everybody in the car business essentially sooner or later knows everybody else. So it was a great place for me to build up my reputation and build up a business for myself over the last, 20 plus years.
Well, congratulations on that. And now, have you ever considered doing something with your experience outside a payroll, like a podcast? Because I think that all these trainers nowadays would love something like that, or would you like to stick it more behind the paywall and just keep it as is?
Well, not just the paywall. We do a lot of live training, a lot of live workshops, but yes, 99% of my business is automotive. We've looked at diversifying and getting out of that space. There's pros and cons to that. When you get outside of your niche and where you're known, that's a whole other foray of marketing and expertise. And I really believe that people, when they teach something to somebody, they need to do it themselves first, and they should be truly an expert in their field. And by narrowing in into, staying in one space and sort of, I say, staying in my lane and staying on point in that space, I think I've done a better service for my clients, and they will specialize. So at this point, I've done other work myself personally for other industries, friends of mine that have businesses in other, other spaces. But for now, that's kind of the silo that I've stuck to.
Okay. So you are more doing online computerized training than virtual podcast trainings. And because you're so good at your niche, people have known you as an automotive person. And now, what do you say to the person starting out? How do they get good at their niche? Or is there no easy answer?
I think there's a double feedback loop there for everybody. And the reason why I talk about specialization and me staying that way is a lot of people want to be generalists, and generalists are great. And there's a lot of very successful people that do that. The chicken and egg thing here is, are you good at something because you love it, or do you love something because you're good at it? My experience is with most people, and coaching now tens of thousands, probably upwards close to 100,000 people, hundreds of companies, I think you tend to love something once you get good at it. I think that's what happens. People say, oh, I've got just had a knack for painting, or just had a knack for golf, or a knack for whatever. And, you know, I think once you have some success in something, it becomes easier to fall in love with it. And a lot of people talk about, you know, finding your passion. Well, what are you good at? Like, what are you good at? What could you get better at?
Yes.
You know, what could you become an expert at? Maybe that's the way you should go, because at that point, you probably become passionate at it because you are good at it.
Yes. Yes. Like, for me and disabled advocacy journalism, I'm excellent at it. But that's my thing. So that's going to be my niche. And I'm continuing school in January to finish out my degree, finally. And so, yeah.
Good for you.
If you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why, inside or outside, you feel?
That's a very, very easy question for you to answer. On my personal Instagram account, I've got a couple thousand followers. I've got 4,000 or 5,000 on my work Instagram. On my personal Instagram account, I only follow 3 people. At this stage of my life, I follow Tony Robbins. He's been a go-to for me for a long time. A gentleman by the name of Tom Campbell, that is a research scientist in the area of consciousness. And the Dalai Lama, because I look at his philosophies, not so much as a religion, but as a way of life and a psychology. So those are sort of my my 3 people that I go to for myself to get the bigger, deeper answers in life and to get kind of some processes and approaches on how to approach my business and situations that I'm in.
What is your biggest accomplishment in life and business?
You know, in life, I've got 2 really, really wonderful kids. I could go on and on about both of them. They both have taken up professionally 2 aspects that are my passion. My son is actually in the car business now, doing an exceptional job in the position that he's in. He's just killing it. I'm very, very proud of him. He just bought his first home. And my daughter also just bought her first home. And I'm into real estate as well, so I'm proud of that. And she is a psychotherapist. And my 2 passions are automotive and psychology. And when I bring the automotive and psychology together, along with my understanding of sales and sales process, that's really the foundation for most of the things that I'm interested in that I do. So I'd say my kids are a big, big accomplishment in my life. I'm very, very proud of both of them. And on the work side, you know, I've got 2 or 3 things there. I mean, I could sit here and talk metrics and numbers, and you hit certain levels of either income or sales. It's always exciting. But getting my 3 books written and put on Amazon, one of them actually becoming a bestseller in 5 separate business categories, which was my blue book, Unstoppable Selling. And then we've got Unstoppable Attitude, Unstoppable Money. Those books, writing a book and writing a good book, and I think the 3 great books are, it's a tough project to do. So that's one. The other one is Joe Girardi just passed away recently. Guinness Book of World Record car salesperson, and actually Guinness Book of World Record salesperson in all sales categories. Got a hold of me personally in 2007. I did a seminar with him and his son. That was something that I don't see anybody in my field could beat that. And I'm very, very happy about that and proud about that accomplishment. He went on to become a great friend. And the other one is actually my online training. I've got 3,000 videos behind a paywall, doing 3,000 professionally edited videos, all of which are very different, unique, and up-to-date. And we continue to freshen it up all the time. That also is a massive project I'm extremely proud of. It's the biggest, best one, most current one in the automotive sales space in the world, actually.
And so it's one of the biggest ones in the automotive sales space. And so do you do social media training, to promote that training, or how did it get so big?
We've got a lot of clients that use us for regular training. So that was an easy spillover when we launched that they could have us coach them in between the live training and live visits through a virtual library. So that was the foundation to get it going. We do promotions on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. We've got a Facebook group. I believe in, you know, the online social media thing. I know it's about eyeballs and attention and having people, you know, looking at you all the time, but it's also about value and free value and stuff that the average person could pull off or do themselves. So my percentage of message is always 80% value, maybe 10%, 20% promotion. That 80-20 rule for me has worked to keep a lot of people following us for a long time and following us for the right reasons. So I definitely don't have the largest social media platform, because in my world, I know where car dealers are. We can get a hold of them directly through visits and mail and emails and so on. That's my business model. So I can go after dealerships directly by point. I'm not looking to get everybody and their friend, you know, following me online unless they want to. But social media has been a piece of it, but it's been more, I'm going to call it, you know, old school marketing, if you want to call it that. But that's been a bigger piece for me, is actually word of mouth and repeats and referral business.
And the millennials who are listening to this, who don't understand mail as in mailbox.
yeah.
Mail as in mailbox. You guys put the flyer in mailbox and mail as in mailbox. And so that's how Dwayne's doing it. And I like the old, even though I like email, even though I like social media, I like the old classic way of doing it, because I believe it or not, you guys, I sat at the end of AOL generation with You Got Mail and the little yellow mail, the little yellow guy bouncing across the screen, and the disk drive with AOL on it. And so I am an older millennial that likes the classic. Okay, you get the postcard in mail. 9 times out of 10, you throw it in the trash can, but it may have some interesting value to it.
Well, you know, the thing is, I never know if somebody's going to read something on a social media post, whatever platform it's on, if they're going to get a mail piece, if they're going to actually answer the phone or listen to their voicemail. Because we do B2B, believe it or not, it's so low cost, we still even fax. If that can be crazy. And I've got a massive text database, an email database of people that have personally come through workshops that have given me their phone numbers to text tips to and to email tips to. But again, even with the mail piece, you know, for those of you that want to try it, it puts you in a little bit of a category of being real. If you're talking to a business and a business owner, you've got something there where you spent some money on, it's in their hand, it looks good. And 80% of those mail pieces to me are relationship builders, they're value builders, and 20% is sort of old school spray and pray, which is just promotional items. And hopefully between the relationship pieces and the marketing spray and prays, that together comes along to get an account. And in my business, I look at the life value of an account. So not just doing one transaction with them, but if they continue on doing transactions with me through the years, you know, what is that worth over maybe a 1 to 10 year time frame, just getting one account? So if you look at it that way, it's easy to justify sometimes some time and effort in doing some of these things. If you've got a product, and I do with my training services and consulting services, where you're going to get more than one sale from somebody over time, you have to look at the life cycle, the cash flow from that client over a number of years.
Yeah. So, Dwayne, do you have any questions for me as we tie this interview up?
I do. What motivated you to start this? Why did you originally get into it?
I wrote a book, I Come a Win, and then I had to figure out how to market the book. And I came up with the concept of Ask Win. And so that's how Ask Win came into be.
And how long have you been doing it?
I have been doing it for the past 4 years. I have over 1,000 episodes on the feed, and this is what keeps me motivated. Outside of journalism school, as I transition to another journalism school to finish my degree.
Where are you? I'm based out of Toronto, Canada. I do training. We got a seminar coming up in Phoenix, and I've done training and do training all over North America. Where are you actually physically based out of?
I am physically based out of the beautiful Aspen, Colorado.
Oh, very good. Colorado's so beautiful.
Yeah, close to Denver. A good 4 hours away. But
I was just in Denver doing some work there for a large, the biggest dealer group in Denver, actually. It's a beautiful,
beautiful place. So, Dwayne, where can people find you and where can people get a hold of you?
If you Google us, just Google my name, Duane Marino. That's Dwayne Marino, Duane Marino. Just hit Google. We're the first, just by name, probably the first 8 pages is nothing but me. Lots of stuff there. Our website is myname.com. And on the website, you can see lots of different things, social media links, YouTube channels, Facebook, LinkedIn, all that.
All that good stuff. Okay, you guys, you have to Google Dwayne, and we'll have all of Dwayne's information in the show notes. And I appreciate your support. I definitely appreciate Dwayne's support, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thanks, you guys.
Short and